I've been thinking a lot lately about time. This is probably something we all do, though I fear the amount of time I spend thinking about time may be a bit excessive. Some of this thinking is necessary, of course, like most employed people and many people who are retired. I have meetings to attend and projects to complete and deadlines to meet, all on a prearranged schedule. And I think we all have issues with time in some way. Children in school have to be waiting by the side of the road when their bus comes. They have to be in their seats when the bell rings for class to begin. And they have to be ready to hand in their homework when the teacher asks for it. And it doesn't get any easier in college either, where procrastination becomes an art form and the available distractions are almost limitless. I suspect that most of us have had recurring nightmares about time, starting about then. The class you forgot you were enrolled in until the week of finals comes to mind. But the time thing doesn't end there. In fact, it may only get worse, because the older we get, the more we become aware of the many years that are stretched out behind us on our journey through this life and the shrinking number that lie ahead of us. At least that's been my experience. And one reminder among many is the growing number of anniversaries that our lives encompass as we age, the centennials and sesquicentennials and bicentennials, some of them more important than others, but all of them marking time. But none of this is really what I want to focus our attention on this morning, at least not directly, because what I've been talking about has to do with what we call chronos time, time measured in minutes and seconds, in hours, days, and years that lead to decades and then to centuries. Time that is governed by the Earth's orbit around the sun. Time that we are always racing against and running short on and bemoaning the loss of, or sometimes the ravages of. Yet time that also enables us, through the feasts and seasons of the church's calendar, to celebrate our faith through worship in a deliberate way, to reflect upon and respond to the story of God's great acts, especially in the life of Jesus and the church. Today is one of those sacred times, the 50th and final day of the Easter season, the Feast of Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples of Jesus, giving them power to proclaim everywhere the good news of God in Christ and to carry on Jesus' work in the world. And so Pentecost is the occasion for the celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with it, the creation of the church. In fact, the scriptures for today give us two accounts of the coming of the Spirit. One in the book of Acts, with a mighty wind and tongues of fire and a crowd of diverse people speaking in their native languages and yet somehow understanding each other. And a less spectacular account in the gospel, with the coming of one who is counselor or advocate, terms drawn from the world of law and business and decision-making, the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. But what has struck me the most is the psalm for today, so reminiscent of the first chapter of Genesis. which reminds us that Pentecost is not the birthday of the Spirit, that the Spirit was present in the creation. The Spirit inspired the prophets. The Spirit was the agent in the birth of Jesus. The Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism. And according to the psalmist, the Spirit continues to be present in a world that is pictured as a place larger than the human world, where God's creating, redeeming, and sustaining activities abound in deepest intimacy. We're reminded then to think of Pentecost as the birthday of creation, signaling a new creation and inviting us, the church, to participate as co-creators with God in the renewal of the cosmos, which in Paul's words to the Romans has been groaning in labor pains until now. It's right about at this point, it seems to me, that we start leaving Chronos time and entering a different kind of time known as Kairos time, meaning the right time or the appointed time. For Kairos is God's dimension, time that is not marked by the past or the present or the future. Like God, Kairos time is timeless, even though we may experience it in time. So it was when Jesus came crashing, if you will, into Chronos time and bringing the kingdom of God into our midst. So it was when the first disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so it is now, when we peek around the corner of eternity and catch a glimpse of how God works. And when we live our lives, when we live out our days in the possibility of these moments. You know, I sometimes wonder what the Old Testament songs of praise to the wonderful works of God in creation would say if the writers had the benefit of the Hubble telescope and those marvelous instruments that have followed, and could marvel as we can at the magnificence of the universe and ponder its reach and the universes beyond. We know more about these things than the author of today's psalm ever dreamed of knowing. We can go to NASA's website and witness the discovery of celestial bodies that no longer exists by the time we can see them. And as an aside, I recommend to you NASA's website, where you can have these images sent to you by email every day. And I find them often to be very effective in lifting me out of panic mode at work when I'm in a Chronos time crunch. But we can also study and manipulate the building blocks of life, the tiniest building blocks of life, in ways that the psalmist never would have accepted or even found relevant. And yet the psalmist knew a few things about God and about God's world and about the relationship between them. The psalmist knew that the world and all that is within it, no matter how vast, are the result of the loving act of a creator God, and that the inhabitants of this world continue to be sustained by the one who gives them their food in due season. The psalmist knew that the world is continually being renewed by a redeemer God who sends forth God's Spirit, and living things are created, and so renews the face of the earth. The psalmist knew that creation is absolutely dependent on God, and that this is a good thing. Life is finite, and this finite life is good because whatever God gives is good. The psalmist knew that God, whose power and glory are so great that when God looks at the earth, it trembles, is also so deeply entwined with creation that all aspects of life are of God. And finally, the psalmist knew that God delights in creation. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. So on this day of Pentecost, let us celebrate the birthday of the church and also the birthday of creation by rejoicing with the psalmist in the world that belongs to God. And let us go forth looking for moments of Kairos time when the spirit through which God created the world breaks into Chronos time, and by allowing that same spirit to guide us into all truth, into a vision where God is the power and source of all that is, and where our well-being and the well-being of all people and the world around us are inseparable, and to set us on a path of caring for one another and for all creation. May it ever be so.